So some of you have seen some of these pictures before as far as just the island itself. This is the actual map of the island. And if you look, here's this picture, and you see this mountaintop right here. And if we go here, that I was standing here when I took that picture. That's the mountaintop that I was pointing out. It's not real big. Not a big island, as we saw on the atoll before in the Pacific. Here's some information about the island, just to give you, a lot of you are still asking questions about Easter Island. There's a lot of information out there about it, but it gives you an idea about the culture, it being a territory of Chile. They speak both their native language and Spanish, and so they mix that together. But it is out there in the middle of nowhere, not technically the most isolated planet, or a planet, the most isolated place on the planet, but it is the second most isolated inhabited place on the planet. I think an Antarctic scientific station was the other most, but we're not counting that. And so you see the two languages there. So just to give you kind of a background, Kara's the first trip, Kara went with me on this trip. And her first trip with me is in May I have the notes here because I can't read them from back here. Do your eyes change after a while? So May, she went with me in 2013. And then we met Peaky on that trip. It was the first time we had contact with her, asked her to study the Bible. She said, you know, how can I not when the Bible, God has brought the Bible to my door? It was in the following year, in April, that she was baptized. And some of you know about Peaky. This is her son, Uri, who was baptized in that same year. In the next trip, in August, he was baptized. And so on this trip, you know, every trip we go, we study with people, make new contacts, study the Bible. And Peaky's been the source of trying to find those contacts. And the winter's out walking around asking people to study the Bible. And we studied with Anita. And Anita, we studied with quite a bit. And she told me, you know, we baptized her the second night we were there, or that first full day we were there. And she told me, she said, when you left last time, I knew then I should have been baptized. She said, I went home and opened up my Bible to read, and the first few verses I started reading about was about baptism, and I knew then I should have been baptized then. And we keep telling them that Uri, you know, could have baptized her, but sometimes there's a stigma that, you know, the person that taught you has to baptize you. So we baptized her one night. It was late because she works as a guard. You see those statues there? I'm pointing at the wrong thing. Right here. Right over there, you see this. So anyway, that was awkward. So anyway, she stands or sits there all day when the tourists are there and guards those statues to make sure that nobody gets up on. You can't touch them. You can't breathe on them. And so she guards those statues. That's what she does. So she was baptized after her shift that night, which... You know, they show pictures of people. I've never baptized anybody in the ocean before. Never done it. And they show pictures, you know, in the South Pacific of them doing it. This particular night was difficult. Just where the waves were. Waves create an issue and making sure that they were technically all the way under. But she was. So here is the church on Easter Island. Here is the church. These three, as we mentioned earlier. And so it is continuing to grow. And so now you add a new element. It started in the house, in Peaky's house, with her and her son, and now you add another family. And every time you make contact with another family, you're making contact with their extended family members. We studied with her daughter, and daughter was like, what is this thing that my mom's doing? You know, and so we studied with her, gave her a Bible, and we'll talk about that here in just a minute. Actually, just right now, we gave people Bibles. So when we were on the trip, you know, we talked about taking Bibles to Easter Island. And so we bought 100 Bibles. It was part of the funds we raised for Mission Sunday. And, you know, 100 Bibles in bags doesn't seem weird, right, when you're going through an airport. You see that all the time, right? So we had these boxes. We didn't really even take them out of the boxes. I just loaded the boxes into two duffels and shipped and took them with us. Easier doing that than shipping them. Well, you know, as you go to another country, they ask, well, how much stuff do you have that you're going to sell? I'm not selling anything. This is freely you've been given, freely you give. So we're giving this stuff out, right? But because we had so much of the same thing, they said, well, you're supposed to declare it. Then enters bureaucracy. So when you go through the airport, and in customs, she's wanting to say, what is all this? And she's wanting to see it. So I opened up. There's just Bibles, you know, big smile, just Bibles. And how come you have so many? And I was opening up all the boxes, say, just Bibles, no powder, just Bibles, you know. So making sure that she understands that these are just Bibles. But because there were so many of them, she said, well, you should have declared these. I said, well, I'm not selling them. And she said, well, we would have done this to anybody, and you need to sell them, and you're going to have to pay like a tax on the amount that you bought them for, and it could be a fine because you didn't list this and this. They try to scare you. But I was already having my argument together because she started talking to me. It's like, well, this is what we're going to do. And I kept trying to interrupt her with my, you know, my well-thought-out, organized, logical format of why she needed to let us go. And she finally got me to stop trying to talk, and she said, we're going to let this go. And I said, thank you. We'll go. So we got the Bibles there. Apparently it's contraband. Who knew? So we handed out Bibles, but we didn't hand out, Kara and I could have handed out physically all the Bibles, but we didn't do that. We handed out about 25 of them, and we let other people the members there needed to hand them out. You know, every time I go, I bring the materials that they need to keep and study and that kind of stuff, and every time I come, I said, well, where's the material you're supposed to study? Oh, well, we kind of gave it away. Really? Well, you were supposed to be studying that. So these were for them to hand out. It takes, you know, it gives them ownership of what they're doing, and so that was something that that they're going to be doing while we're gone. So as we continued, we studied with the church every day. We studied with them, continued to help them grow. We made new contacts with the people that were there, and then we continued building relationships with the people on the island. And that's a large part of it. Is, you know, some people are willing to study with strangers, and some people just need to know you a little bit before they're willing to open up. And so we're really trying to build relationships. We talked had dinner with a guy. He actually took us out to dinner, Kara and I, which is a big thing. And so it was an older man who was actually, everybody called him Commando on the island. He was like Rapa Nui Rambo, I think, from the stories he tells me anyway. He was Chilean Secret Service and Chilean Special Forces and that kind of stuff. And he was actually working, anyway, he was a really, really cool guy. So he took us out to dinner as an older gentleman. And he proceeded, okay, let me back up a little bit. I went fishing with him, and he told me stories about the fish he caught. And then that night, he took us out to dinner, and he said, we all lie. I had looked up, like, the numbers on the fish he told me he caught. Like, okay, let's measure these fish. Unless he bought or caught some fish that were like two times the size of the actual world record fish, he's a liar too, and as far as fishing is concerned. And so he said, we all lie. And he just talked about the culture. And that's part of, you know, Dan talks about it. Everywhere you go, you learn the culture. And that's true here. You know, you move to a different part of the country in the United States, you learn the culture there. And so, and that's part of it is getting to know people and building relationships. And so that was part of what we were doing while we were there on the island. So as we kind of close up, because Dan was correct, he had a lot of slides. So as we, the future of the work, this is the cemetery. Why, Josh, would you take a picture of the cemetery? This is why we go. This is why we're going. This is why we're going to Kiribati. This is why we're going anywhere we go. This is why we open our mouths to speak. Because people are dying. That's just how it is. We had a memorial service this afternoon for one of the God's saints. But what kind of different picture had it been if he wasn't? And so this is why we go. And so tonight, the question to you is, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And are you willing to repent and turn away from sin? And are you ready to confess that Jesus is the Son of God? And are you willing to be obedient until death? Those are things that we need to ask you. And if you are willing to do that, if you are willing to make that change in your life and to follow him with all your heart, then your end will be different. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Your death will be a blessing. But if you do not die in the Lord, your death will be a curse eternally. So tonight we lay this at your feet, a decision that you can make at any time. But if you need to make that decision tonight, or if you need the prayers of the congregation here, please come now as we stand and as we sing.